The following is a lecture to brahmacharis entitled How to Avoid Offenses, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 6th, 2014, at East of Kailash Temple in New Delhi, India.
Bandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Bala Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadhaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitansha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadishatarine. So, I've been asked to speak about a very important subject matter, how to avoid Vaishnavapuram. Actually, that is a negative instruction. If you take the other side of it, how to always be respectful to Vaishnava, you see, then there's no question of ever being offensive to a Vaishnava. If I just say, whatever you do, don't offend a devotee. Well, what am I supposed to do? Hide in the closet, you see? Go to the Himalayas? Make sure I never offend a devotee. But the positive side is more important. How to always be respectful to Vaishnava. That's a better understanding, because if you do that, then there's something positive you can do, you see. If I just say, don't do this, then what do? We are active by nature, you see. Our nature is to be active. If I simply say, don't do this, then what am I supposed to do, you see? One needs something positive to do, and then you can avoid the negative thing. So that comes back to the real question then, how to always be respectful to Vaishnavas. There are three dimensions in Vedic psychology. There is the dimension of thought, the dimension of speech, and the dimension of action. If your thoughts are proper, your speech will be proper, and your words will be proper. Therefore, if you want to always be respectful to Vaishnavas, you simply have to cultivate the proper attitude towards Vaishnavas. If you have the proper mental state towards Vaishnavas, then you'll always speak properly. You'll always act properly with devotees. And you won't commit any offense. So what is the proper attitude one should have towards Vaishnavas? This is described by one of the songs by Narottam Das Thakur. This is in our songbook. You know that song, Haraye Nam Krishna Jadavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Nam Sri Madhusudan. One verse goes, Anandi Bolohati Bhajja Vrindavan Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Manjaya Man. This verse is the key, you see. What does it mean? Anande bolo hadi. Ecstatically chant the names of the Lord, Bhaja Vrindavan. Worship the holy Dham, Sri Vrindavan. And always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. Guru and Vaishnavas, one might add. Yes. Not only your Guru's lotus feet worshipable, but the Vaishnavas' feet are also worshipable. So we have to see every devotee as worshipable. Whether he's a neophyte devotee, a Kanishta Adhikari, whether he's a medium Majjhama Adhikari, whether he is Uttam Adhikari, every devotee is worshipable. Actually, every living entity is actually a devotee. Some have realized it and some have not. We see in that pastime of Mugrari the Hunter how he was respectful even to the little ant. So in this way we have to always be respectful to devotees. Actually, you cannot develop your Krishna consciousness beyond how much, the level of how much respect you have for devotees. It is confirmed in the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate jana, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be Krishna's devotee? Huh? You want to be devotee of Krishna? Yes. Then you better learn how to become the devotee of the devotees. You better learn how to do that. You have no option. You have no alternative. Unless you learn how to become the devotee of the devotees, you're never going to make it in Krishna consciousness. You'll be one of the statistics of devotees who fell down and left ISKCON. We have many. Why did they leave? Because they didn't learn how to become devotees of the devotees. In every case. So you want to make it in this lifetime? You want to stay in the movement, go back to Godhead? You want to have spiritual longevity? Then learn how to love and respect the devotees. Not just respect them. Respect can be mechanical also. I will show you respect. But actually learn how to love the devotees. that I love your association. You see what I'm saying? Learn how to love the devotees. What's an example of that? Again, our Narottam Das, you see. What a great songwriter. Our Narottam Das says, Ramachandra Sangha Mage Narottama Das. I am always hankering for the association of Ramchandra Chakravarti. So, in this way, we have to always be hankering for the association of this devotee and that devotee and this devotee and that devotee. At least find a few devotees in the beginning. I'm always hankering for their association. You see? That your whole life you'll always remember, oh, that's a nice god brother, you see? It's like I have one of my young brahmachari days. I was preaching together with one fellow brahmachari. Now we were both married devotees. I still remember him. Actually, just when I say his name, it's like poetry. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was his name. He's now in Atlanta, Georgia. But he's always had a very special place in my heart. Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Just when I say his name, it's like, wow. Like a song. So you have to learn how to relish the devotee sangha. And there's no offense. How you can be offensive towards someone that you love, you see? So somehow or other, learn how to love the devotees. And how do you do that? It's not difficult. It is given by Rupa Goswami, the six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. Even if you feel no love, if you will simply practice these six kinds of loving exchanges with Vaishnavas, then gradually the love will come. You see? You have to give gifts to devotees. If you have no physical gift, you give the gift of your service. Serve the Vaishnava. Give him a gift of your time. You see? You give gift to devotees. You accept gifts and service from devotees. And with appreciation, deep appreciation. Not cold. But if some devotee serves you and helps you when you're in a time of need, you should always appreciate. Oh, I'm so thankful. I remember when, many years ago, when I was, again, my brahmachari days, one of our fellow brahmacharis, he got sick in Mayapur. He'd come from the U.S. and he was sick there, lying in his room we just only had one building. We used to call it the Long Building. Now they have a new name for it. And he was lying sick. So I went and got him a doctor and brought a doctor. He never forgot that. He said, oh, you brought me a doctor when I was sick. Thank you very much. You see. So in this way, we have to be very personal. I remember one time, my godbrother Shamsundar Prabhu, that famous Shamsundar, the one who met George Harrison and brought him to Krishna consciousness, Shamsundar Prabhu, very famous godbrother of mine. I'm just waiting for his book. I'm eagerly waiting for his memoirs. He was the one that went to London along with five other householders and opened up the UK to Krishna consciousness. Shamsundar Prabhu. Someone who organized the Mantra Rock Dance in Haight-Ashbury back in 1967. One of the greatest heroes of our movement. So anyway, one time he fell sick and nobody wanted to take care of him. Oh, I don't want to get contaminated. You see, Prabhupada was very displeased. He said, if I had known you were sick, I would have personally come to nurse you back to health. You see? So if any of our godbrothers become sick, we should take care to help them, serve them, and help them recover their health. You see? In this way, love is not just some, you know, theoretical thing. Love is practical. It means service. Why do we say devotional service? Why don't we just say service? In this world, there's so many people rendering service for what? Money. You get a taxi driver, he serves you. Is he really serving? He's just serving himself. So devotional service, that means loving service. Out of devotion, out of love, you see, I'm serving you. So in this way, we have to serve the devotees with love, with feeling, with care, with compassion. Giving gifts, receiving gifts. And what's the next item? Accepting prasadam and giving prasadam. In the final, also it is mentioned to reveal your heart to the devotees. And to open your heart when devotees reveal their hearts to you. Just like now, I'm revealing my heart to you. This is love. You see, this is I come here to reveal my heart to you. This is an expression of my love for you. Krishna has blessed me with so many realizations after 43 years of practicing this practice, Krishna consciousness. So my love is to share with you. I'm not a paid speaker. I didn't get a speaker's fee for coming here today. I'm coming here out of love. Because Prabhupada has blessed me with many, many realizations. And I want you to be able to take advantage of these realizations to advance in Krishna consciousness. So that is, I'm revealing my heart to you, and it's a loving revelation of the heart. And so you should open your heart instead of thinking, who's this jerk sitting up there talking? No. So, someone has come to reveal what they have learned from Prabhupada. Let me open my heart, my mind. Let me open myself up and hear what he has to say so I can learn and benefit from it. So in this way, take advantage of these six loving exchanges. When a godbrother wants to open his heart to you, open your heart. Let him open your heart so he can open his heart to you. Don't be cold, don't be callous, don't be like a turtle in your shell. We are not Mayavadis here. We are Vaishnavas. Vaishnava means open heart. Mayavadi means closed heart. We are Vaishnavas. We are not Mayavadis. We are open heart people, you see. So in this way, if one practices these six loving exchanges, then your heart will be so full of wonderful loving relationships that Maya will not ever touch you. Maya will, no matter how hard she may try, she'll never be able to penetrate your wall of security, you see. Now they have security at the airport, so no terrorists can get on the airplane, you see, with their bombs. Of course, that security is not perfect. And the terrorists will get through sometime with their bomb. But you have to have a better security system than the modern-day governments have, and that is the security system of loving exchanges with Vaishnavas. If you have those loving exchanges with devotees, you're always thinking how to serve the devotees, how to please the devotees. Then your security system will be perfect. Maya will never be able to penetrate your security system. So if there's any questions, you can pass them forward. how to overcome worry about the future when we join the ashram. Well, do you think Krishna loves you? Or he doesn't give a damn about you? What do you think? Krishna has more love for you than you can even begin to imagine. So actually, Krishna is arranging everything perfectly for you. How to get out of this material existence and how to come back to his eternal abode. I can tell you, I spent 14 years in the Brahmacharya Ashram. Those are the days. Those are the sweet days when you have no business except to hear and chant and distribute the mercy. Ashram life is the greatest and the best facility. When I joined the movement, that's all it was. There was only ashram. There was no outside. No one living outside. Everybody was in the ashram. If you weren't in the ashram, you were in Maya. That was it. When I joined, everyone was living in the ashram. That was the original standard in the old days of ISKCON. Everybody was ashram devotees. And gradually, there was maybe one household living on the outside. And then gradually, over decades, the demographic shifted. Now the ashram devotees are a small percentage of the ISKCON membership. In the old days, it was 99.999% of the initiated devotees were ashram devotees. But that is absolutely the best position. The brahmachari life is the best training you can ever get. There's no better training anywhere in the whole universe than brahmachari training. It is absolutely the best training you can ever get in millions of births. It is suitable for sannyasis, and it is suitable for grihasthas. So whichever way you're going to end up, as a sannyasi or a grihastha, you see, this is the best training for you. Of course, in the Vedic culture, they would spend 20 years in the ashram, the age of 5 to the age of 25. And then at 25, well, you can either stay in the ashram or you can go out and get married, you see. The spiritual master would say, well, you're more suitable for household life, you see. So you should get married, you see. So I did 14 years. Those 14 years are very, very special. Very, very special years of my life. I treasure those memories very deeply within my heart. I still have all my... I actually have a trunk, a nectar trunk of all the notes, the notebooks I filled up. I still have them, a nectar trunk from my brahmachari years, of all the notes I took, all the... used to be we didn't have the Veda base where you could have all Prabhupada's letters. There wasn't a letter or a book either. You would collect them. You get a Xerox copy of a letter and you collect... I had a collection of Xerox copy of letters. All filed away very carefully. I had so many notes. I have notebook after notebook of notes I took. I still have those, all that from my brahmachari years, my student life. A very special time of my life. How to become very, very learned in Krishna consciousness. It was a great blessing to study. It's like being a student in the military academy, isn't it? Because in the future you're going to be out there on the battlefield, maybe a general. Who knows what you may be? But that brahmachari training is the best training you can get. So now here I am traveling all over the world, circling the globe twice a year. But that training I had as a brahmachari, that is the foundation of my preaching activities now for going on for, I guess, 20 years. Well, of course, I've been preaching all along, from the very beginning. When I first joined, immediately some TV station said, "We want to have a Hare Krishna interview, Hare Krishna." My temple president sent me. I was just joined the ashram. He said, go to the TV station. I went on a live TV show. I went there with my tilak, my dhoti, and I was representing Krishna consciousness on a live TV show. This is brand new in the ashram. And then a speech class at the university. They said, "We want, please come and give a speech about Krishna consciousness to our speech class." They were studying the art of speaking, you see. So they wanted to analyze me from the standpoint of public speaking techniques. And they said, "Oh, you're a very good speaker." I just went and told them, you know, speak from my heart about Krishna. You know. So, from the very beginning, I was always engaged in preaching activities. So I still remember very, very fondly those early days, making devotees. I went to the University of Florida campus. I sat down with my dhoti, my tilak, a blanket, a harmonium, and a bowl of Simply Wonderful, and I made a devotee. One boy named Steve, he came, a student. I gave him a Simply Wonderful. He heard my chanting, and next day I helped him drop out of school. He shaved off his hair and put on a dhoti. He was a brahmachari the next day. Just by sitting down and with his bowl of Simply Wonderfuls and a harmonium, chanting on the campus, you see. So I have very sweet memories of those days, brahmachari days. And so take advantage of this ashram you're in. You may end up getting married, you might end up becoming a sannyasi. Who knows what you'll be in the future. We have a great future of this movement, and our mission is to take over the whole world. So we need qualified men who can lead the society out of chaos. See, we want you to become powerful world leaders who can go to some place and make 10,000 disciples. You see, we want all of you to become qualified like that. You know what Prabhupada told us in Mayapur? He said, "Now we are 10,000. And then we will become 100,000. And then we will come to 1,000,000. And then we will come to 10,000,000. In this way," he said, "there will be no scarcity of acharyas." So now we are training you how to become acharyas. You have a very big responsibility. We want to train you how to become a person who is qualified to deliver the entire world. You understand my point? So take this training very seriously, and don't worry, Krishna will take care of you with tender, loving care. If you give yourself to Krishna, he will never neglect you. I am very enthusiastic now, but how can I be sure that this enthusiasm remains forever in the future? Well, I always tell this story. Maybe you've heard, there's one sannyasi, he's famous in our history, our movement, Vishnu Janaswami. So he came to Austin and opened a temple there, and I was there. And so he was in a mood of wanting to spread the movement. So when I got initiated, Prabhupada was in the UK, so I didn't get to hand my dakshin directly to the spiritual master, but I had to mail it to him because I got initiated by a letter. So that was a great opportunity. Now I get to write Prabhupada a letter along with my dakshina. And so I told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I want to spread this movement," because that's what Vishnu Jana's mood was, you see. And so Prabhupada wrote me back. He said, "I can see that you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy. So continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you." Wow. What are you supposed to do with the order of the spiritual master? Do you take it or leave it? Or do you take it as your heart, life, and soul? What is it? You take it or leave it? Huh? No. You take it as your life and soul. So Prabhupada gave me the order to always be enthusiastic. And guess what? Prabhupada was right. Krishna has been blessing me ever all along the way. So you want the blessings of Krishna? Be enthusiastic. That's all. If you're, whenever you're enthusiastic, Krishna will shower His mercy upon you. Try it. It works. And the more you feel that reciprocation from Krishna, the more enthusiastic you will get. So it's exciting. Okay. Sometimes in this process of pleasing the Vaishnavas, we displease many other devotees. So how to avoid that? Well, it's going to happen sometimes. Devotee is going to be angry with you. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? It happened. Well, you have to always be in the mood of thinking, well, I'm not perfect. So maybe I did something wrong here. Let me try to learn from when I displease other devotees. Let me take that as a learning experience. Please more in detail the symptoms of love. Love means selflessness. The more you become selfless, always thinking of the happiness of others, that's love developing. When we see something wrong in devotees are not following the rules and regulations, then how we can think good about him. I'm not telling you to blindly think that everybody's a paramahamsa. If somebody is not following the rules and regulations, you should try to do something about it. Just like, I'll give you an example. Prabhupada did not want us to keep facial hair. He didn't even like it during Kartik, actually. Prabhupada didn't like it. So sometimes when I'm traveling, I encounter different, sometimes temple presidents keeping their facial hair. So what am I supposed to do? Sometimes you don't say anything because it would, you know, but it, there's no proper relationship. If you have a proper relationship with someone, then you can correct them if they're doing something wrong. You have a loving relationship where they understand and they appreciate that you're their well-wishing friend, because you have a loving relationship with them, you can point out their faults. Prabhu, this isn't right what you're doing. So sometimes I'll point out to a temple president, this is not right. And sometimes I won't say a word. It depends on my relationship with them. I just met a temple president today that I had told him about it. Now he's always keeping clean shave, and he's really appreciated that I told him about Prabhupada's instruction. You see. So it's a matter of your relationship. Sometimes you can point out to someone if you have that relationship, where they can take it from you and appreciate that you're trying to help them in Krishna consciousness. But if you don't have a relationship, you may just have to tolerate it and not say anything. What kinds of the best gifts a brahmachari can give to another? Well, I know in our Atlanta temple, we're running out of time.
Huh? Can you repeat the question? I didn't hear.
Speak about what?
Question. Repeat the question. Can you repeat the question?
I'll repeat the questions. Okay. All right. What kinds of gifts a brahmachari can give to another? I remember when I was in the ashram in Atlanta, the brahmacharis would bring gifts back from Mayapur and Vrindavan to devotees who didn't get to go. But here you're so close, it's not maybe that would not be so much a big thing here, because you're so close to Vrindavan and your gift store is full of all the things from Vrindavan anyway. Some nice Mahaprasadam, or I mean, brahmacharis don't have many possessions, you know. Some maha from the spiritual, the spiritual master, you know. If there's no physical gift, then the gift of service is always there, helping the devotee. Okay, question. How to develop faith in the spiritual master? Or our immediate authority? Well, you have to, by reading the books and understanding what are the symptoms of a bona fide spiritual master, and then seeing how this person is actually a living embodiment of the scripture. You have to have faith in the spiritual master, you have to become learned in the scriptures. You have to know what are the actual symptoms of a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, you're a fool. You could be misled by a bogus guru. You need to have shastric knowledge, shastric vision. And then you, by seeing the spiritual master actually is an embodiment of what is there in the scriptures, then your faith will naturally be there. We don't want blind faith. Sometimes it happens in our movement. Devotees are not very learned. In one of our temples, some devotee who was a disciple of one of our ISKCON gurus went off the track with his own concocted philosophy, and he came to the temple and he attracted so many people to leave the temple. You see? Because then no one was learned in the philosophy. Without any authorization, he became self-proclaimed guru, you see. And he attracted so many people. Even now, some things are sometimes going on. I'm dealing with one situation in the country right now. Somebody went away, and now he wants to be a guru on his own outside of ISKCON and attract everybody to become his follower. So one has to understand what are the real... In that case, you can see, well, he's not following his own spiritual master. How he can be a guru if he's not obedient to his guru? You see. So the first principle is, you have to see, is this person fully obedient to his spiritual master? That's the first principle you have to see. If you can see he's fully obedient, he's totally dedicated to his spiritual master, who's dedicated to his spiritual master all the way back to Krishna, then you can have faith. And your immediate authority, is he representing Krishna? Is he representing the Srila Prabhupada properly? Many times we went to a devotee for try to make him happy, but our try goes the wrong way, and then he becomes sad more from we feel, and then we feel offended. You try your best to please a devotee, but it doesn't work. They just become more angry. Well, sometimes you have to just let them stew in their own juices. If somebody is in an offensive mood and they don't know how to reciprocate, Prabhupada talks about this in the Bhagavatam purport. Devotees in the mode of ignorance. You respect them from a distance. What can you do? They don't want to reciprocate. You try to give your kindness to them, they just bark, you know, they bark like a dog. You try to be nice, and there are devotees like that sometimes. You see. That's the reality. Prabhupada mentions it. So you may have maybe some devotees who don't want to reciprocate with anybody. They're so selfish, all they want to do is ruff, 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 like a barking dog, you see. Okay, just respect them from a distance. Somebody doesn't reciprocate, then respect them from a distance. Well, at least he's chanting Hare Krishna. Is it possible to have an open-hearted relationship with all devotees? Well, I just answered it. You need to find those devotees who are willing, who are able and willing to reciprocate and make relationships with them. Is it okay to have an open-hearted devotees, open heart with all devotees, whether serious or neophyte, seniors or neophyte? Yeah, you should have proper relationships. With your seniors, you become very respectful, you bow down to them, you sit and hear from them, you learn from them in this way. your equals, you open, you share realizations with them, and the juniors, you're very merciful to them. According to their relationship with you as senior, equal, or junior, you should have open-hearted relationships with everyone, but three different types. In one, you're the recipient of their training, and the other, you're sharing the training you're getting, and the other, you're giving training. How to discriminate many devotees for association and not accordingly without any offensive mentality? Well, you have to see who's more advanced, who's equally advanced, who's less advanced, and associate with them properly. But not proudly. Not that, yeah, I'm more advanced. No. You should never think, yes, I'm more advanced. Should always think, I'm a humble servant of the devotees. But there also is that discrimination. This person is not following everything yet. He's a new person. Let me help him to become more strict in his following. My condition is so bad that my service to devotees, although rendered with the motive of love, ultimately is tinged with other material expectations behind the sleeve. What is the remedy? Well, you know, just do your best, make your best effort, and Krishna will help you. How can we remove the desire for getting appreciation in the execution of devotional service, which is a contamination of devotional service? Actually, you should strive to be recognized by Krishna. That's Prabhupada told me. I was really surprised, actually, because at the time I was really, really envious of devotees who were getting Prabhupada's personal association. I was in a little remote temple. Prabhupada didn't come there. Actually, he wanted to come. My temple president was afraid to invite him. So we did not invite him. Our temple president was afraid to receive Prabhupada. But I met so many devotees who had been on a morning walk, been sitting with Prabhupada in his room for darshan, and I was really getting envious. It was, you know, it was too much for me to take. I couldn't stand it, which is driving me crazy. This envy I had for the devotees who were getting Prabhupada's personal association. So I was thinking, this is really bad. You're not supposed to be envious of devotees. So I wrote Prabhupada a letter and I said, Prabhupada, how can I get free from this envy? And he surprised me with his answer. He said, transcendental envy means when you see someone is being recognized more than you, you should try harder so you also get become recognized by Krishna. So there's nothing wrong with the desire to be recognized by Krishna. One does want to become recognized by Krishna. There's nothing wrong. As far as in the society of devotees, Prabhupada said, silent worker. We're not interested in being glorified, that yes, I want my name to be up there on the board as the big, great devotee. No. The Radharani's mood is she wants to push everyone forward to be with Krishna. We should learn from our mother, our spiritual mother, Radharani. Somebody approaches Radharani, you see, and begs for her mercy. She will say, oh Krishna, just see, here is this devotee. He is better devotee than me. So in this way, Radharani helps the devotees become recognized by Krishna. So we have to learn from Radharani. She's pushing the other devotees forward to be recognized by Krishna. In this way, she is the most recognized by Krishna. How to get the taste in chanting the holy name, and how to chant the holy name. We gave a whole class on that this morning. By carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish will awaken within the tongue, and one's disease of avidya will be destroyed at the root. You have to carefully chant every day. With great care and attention, you should chant the Hare Krishna mantra every day, and the taste will come. No more questions. We're already over time. 10 minutes over time. So no more questions, please. I'm trying to go through these now. If in brahmacharya the rascal mind ponders here and there, diverts to how to control the mind, you just got to keep bringing it back. That little rascal, you got to keep bringing him back. Okay, stop thinking about that girl over there. You know, a woman can't really satisfy you. All you need is Krishna. This way you have to intelligently bring your mind under control. Every time it starts running here and there like a wild dog. What to do and how and why does the mind not stay on Krishna? Well, because of bad association. We're lusty, greedy, angry, illusion, insane, envious people because of bad association for millions of lifetimes. So it takes time to conquer over those anartas and come to the level of pure bhakti. But if you strive diligently every day, I guarantee you, you'll see the difference. As the years, the decades go by, you go, wow, it's like I can't believe it was so bad. Actually, I was formerly a singer-songwriter before I joined the movement. So I was reading through an old newspaper article which gave some of my song lyrics that I wrote before I joined the movement. And it was so horrible, it was just embarrassing. I was seeing what a transformation it made coming to Krishna consciousness. I mean, I was crazy, complete nut. Some of the things I was saying, I was just unbelievably, outrageously horrible, egotistical things I was saying. So I'm seeing how this process has brought such a huge change in my life. And the change just keeps getting better and better and better, year after year. As you stay in this process, it keeps improving. So just be patient, hang in there, and you'll see the results. If a devotee has difficulties in spiritual practice, and if he tries to present Srila Prabhupada's teachings, will his preaching be effective? Yes. We all have difficulties. Does any of us not have difficulties? Is anybody here? Raise your hand if you've never had any spiritual difficulties. Okay, we all have difficulties. The preaching will help you to get over your difficulties. So, have good sadhana and also preach very enthusiastically. Both things will help you conquer your difficulties. When a brahmachari steps out of bhakti, or it seems that he's fallen down, marries, then our respect towards him reduces. So how to improve this mentality, Maharaj? Kindly help. Well, be careful, because you have a holier-than-thou attitude. You're the next one in line to change ashrams. Be careful, brahmachari. I remember when I was a young brahmachari, I was at one Rathi Yatra festival, and a fellow Brahma. I had a Simply Wonderful in my hand, getting ready to pop it in my mouth. Oh, Simply! And one brahmachari walked up and he said, "Stop! That's a dhoti whitener." In other words, you'll be wearing white very soon if you eat that Simply Wonderful. I said, "What is this nonsense? You can't have a sweet." So I went ahead and popped it in my mouth. Guess who got married shortly after that brahmachari did? He had this attitude, you know. So the one who is really sannyas material, you see, he always respects all devotees, whether they're a brahmachari, whether they want to get married, it doesn't matter to him. He respects them as a person who is dedicated to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. That person, you see, he's sannyas material. who have his spec, well, Prabhu, you need to change asanas. Well, do whatever is best for your Krishna consciousness. You see, that's the person who's the real brahmachari, who's a liberal-hearted person. Not that, you know, he's threatened. If somebody else gives up brahmachari ashram and gets married, he feels threatened because he's not fixed himself. He's strengthened by the number of brahmacharis around him. It's not that he has his own internal realization, is it? So these are important things to remember. If you want to be strong on the path of brahmachari life, then you have to be have very kind-hearted mood towards your fellow devotees. But if they need to get married, then you should wish them well in their new ashram. What is the biggest reason a brahmachari changes his ashram to grihastha? I remember one brahmachari said, Srila Prabhupada, how to engage lust in the service of Krishna? Prabhupada said, get married. He was thinking, I can be a brahmachari and use my lust in Krishna's service. The real thing is, if somebody becomes enamored by the thought of woman, you see, that some they forget that actually Krishna is the attractive feature in every beautiful girl, or even not so beautiful girls. Krishna is the attractive feature. It's not that the girl is attractive. Krishna is attractive, and because there's a little. Due to Krishna's potency, she appears to be attractive. But actually, there's no attraction. There's nothing attractive within the existence except for Krishna. You see? Krishna is the only attractive principle that exists. Everything else has attraction only because of its connection with Krishna. So if one forgets that, he might be a candidate for being attracted by a girl. He's forgetting that actually a girl is not attractive. Not really attractive. She just appears to be attractive. If Guruji orders to take this grihastha ashram and one doesn't want to change, what to do? Well, you can refuse. We see that example of the Kumaras. There, Brahmaji, who's the head of our sampradaya, ordered them to get married and they said no. You can refuse. That's an option. Whether you want to stay brahmachari or get married, that's up to you. That's your choice. The spiritual master will always give you that option. Unless you're, you know, falling down and you're messing around and doing all kinds of nonsense, then he may force you. But if you're following our regulated principles, you're strict in your devotional mood, then spiritual master is not going to tell you have to get married. I've never heard of that happening in our movement. And even it did happen with Kumaras, they refused the order. And that was not considered an offense. But the spiritual master is not going to order you have to get married. That's a theoretical question. Maybe he's testing you to see if you're really determined to remain brahmachari. By devotees in brahmachari ashram are very eager for facilities, but we are the followers of the six Goswamis. Well, speak for yourself. That's all I can say. You're accusing all the brahmacharis of being eager for facilities? Look out. Whoever wrote this question, I'm warning you, look out. You just find fault with every brahmachari in the movement, and you're putting yourself in hot water by such a move. Actually, you are eager for facilities. We'll accept that you are eager, but I wouldn't even accept the others are eager for facilities. You see? You are obviously eager for facilities. That's reflected by your question. This is the advantage of these questions. No one knows who asked the question. We can say some heavy things, you see. It's anonymous. And nobody gets embarrassed. Unknown. I'll even tear it up so you won't recognize his handwriting. I'll wad it up so no one will know. I don't know who it is. But this is this attitude is bad. You're assuming you have this attitude. Because you have the attitude, you're assuming all the brahmacharis have this attitude. But that's not necessarily true. Actually, the true brahmacharis don't care about facilities. The ones who care about facilities, they're candidates for grihastha ashram. That's the reality. Those who just want a facility to preach, give me a little prasadam, a place to lie down at night, an unlimited service, those are the real brahmacharis. And those who are looking for facilities, they're heading toward grihastha ashram. What can I say? What is the main thing of attentive chanting? You have to realize that Krishna is personally come. How are you receiving him? That's the essence of attentive chanting. Loving exchange should be done from when juniors, seniors are equals. Everyone. You have loving exchange according to your relationship as a student, as a friend, or as a teacher. And all three are different types of loving relationships. What is the actual philosophy about Uttama Adhikari? And what is the feeling of Uttama Adhikari, the highest state? Is there any difference according to Srila Prabhupada? Philosophy about Uttama Adhikari, there's many definitions of that topmost devotee. You can read in the books defined in many different ways. Sometimes it's described how the topmost devotee, he's seeing Krishna at every minute. That is one understanding. Another understanding is he's able to defeat all opposing arguments. Another understanding is that he considers himself to be the most despicable demon and everyone else is a pure devotee. That is his mood of humility. So the many things statement is stated about the attitude of Uttama Adhikari. And you can study in Prabhupada's books. Right now, we have to at least come to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari. Get off the Kanishta platform and come to that. You know that actually Prabhupada says a Madhyam cannot fall down. So if devotees are falling down, that means they never even got to the Madhyam platform. So at least we should come to the Madhyam platform. And from there we have the position then to go to Uttama. What will give us strength for a whole life in this ISKCON? You have to be dedicated to Prabhupada. You have to be dedicated to Krishna. Dedication is what will give strength. I am dedicated to my spiritual master. See, that's what gives me the dedication to ISKCON, is my dedication to Prabhupada. ISKCON is a... What is ISKCON anyway? Is it the building? Is it the vehicle? What is it? ISKCON is the people. So the real meaning of ISKCON is the loving relationships between the devotees, you see. They can take away all the buildings, but if we have each other, our movement will survive. They can take away all of our money, all of our vehicles, every material facility we have can be taken away. But if we have each other, our movement is still strong. So this movement is based on loving relationships, that's all. It's not based on facilities. It's loving relationships. And that all the loving relationships we have are coming from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami's pure love for us. So if you can understand that all the mercy, all the love is actually coming from Prabhupada channeling through His disciples and His grand disciples, If you can understand where all the love is coming from and try to give your love back to Srila Prabhupada through your Guru Maharaj, through your temple authorities, through your fellow devotees, try to give that love back to Srila Prabhupada. You understand? Then you will never leave the society. You'll be very dedicated. And Prabhupada, if you simply say, well, I'm going to accept Prabhupada's orders as my very life and soul, if you become determined in this way, you'll never leave. Prabhupada told us one time, he said, there is nothing intolerable about this Krishna consciousness movement. But even if you find it to be intolerable, still you should not leave. So if you're willing to dedicate yourself to that order, I don't care what happens. And I tell you, we went through about a rough ride after Prabhupada left this movement. There's 5,000 initiated Prabhupada disciples. Where are they? Here in the temple room, in the morning program, I found one God brother. One. One God brother only. As far as I know, there's only one God brother. Today at Mangalarti and yesterday when I went there, only one God brother. Where are those 5,000 Prabhupada disciples, initiated disciples of Prabhupada? You read their names. I have a list of all their names in my computer, all the initiated devotees of Prabhupada. Where are they? Practically every, we're talking like, how many are still here? Of course, some have left the body, but how many are on this planet who are not active in our movement anymore? You see, it's a huge fatality rate. So how do you end up not being one of those statistics? At some time in your life, that is by being very dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. That I'm giving my life to serve this mission of Srila Prabhupada. I don't care what happens. Come hell or high water, I'm sticking with this movement because I believe in Srila Prabhupada and I want to please Srila Prabhupada. You see? See, that's what will keep you going. Keep you dedicated to this movement. I mean, I just got a report from one country, a very dedicated, fixed-up brahmachari preacher who was doing full-time book distribution and relishing it, who also managed the temple. Now he's left ISKCON. I was shocked. I got an email today. Now I've written him to try to find out what's the difficulty, Prabhu. Try to help him come back, you see. And this is just today's email. Today, it was a devastating blow to me. A dedicated preacher. For many years, brahmachari, fixed up preacher, living in a van, distributing books, and now he's left, you see. So how do I not end up in that category? I have to be very, very dedicated to Srila Prabhupada and to the institution he created. You may say, oh, there's so many faults in ISKCON. I'm out of here. Get me out of this place. I can't stand ISKCON. Well, what did Prabhupada say about ISKCON? He said, ISKCON is my body. So let's say for the sake of argument that ISKCON is in a diseased, corrupted state. As some people argue. I'm not saying it is true, but let's, for the sake of argument, if ISKCON became completely diseased and corrupted, does that mean I leave? That's like saying the spiritual master is very sick. That means I run away? No, the spiritual master is sick, you run to his bedside and you nurse him back to health. So if ISKCON is corrupted, if ISKCON is contaminated, if ISKCON is polluted with all kinds of garbage and corruption, that means I have to become even more dedicated to clean up the mess for Prabhupada, you see? So there's no question of ever abandoning the movement. There's no question. If the movement gets off the track, well, if you're on a train and it gets off the track, everybody gets off the train and you put all your energy together and get the train back on the track. That's all. If the train gets off the track, you're out in the middle of nowhere and you got 1,000 people on the train, well, you all get off the train and you put all your energy together and get the train back on the track so you can keep going. You see? So there's no reason why one should ever leave this movement. You stay with this movement, and if it needs to get down the track, we put our energy together and we get it back on the track. That's all. So anyway, we've gone over time a half an hour, and I can't spare any more time. So we thank you all very, very much for your dedication to Srila Prabhupada's movement. Please always remain fixed in serving your guru, in serving the society. And in this way, I guarantee you, at the time, at the end of your life, you will go to sleep and you'll wake up with Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, for this very good time. And Maharaj, last time when you came, at the end of the class, what Prabhupada taught us, we are strictly following that. So let us offer our respectful humble obeisances to the Maharaj and all the Vaishnavas.
Hare Krishna. Manjaka Madhavasha Kripa Sandhavya Vaishnavya 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 Vaishnavya.